Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Hello and welcome to this Friday Sipping Postcast. Joined in the studio by Paul Keighley. We've also got David Jennings and Frank Hickey from Paddy Power as well. The dream team of tipsters. I want all winners, no exceptions, guys. The pressure is on. Keels, first off, feeling festive? Looking forward to the Christmas period?
I can't say I'm feeling festive. I just had a couple of weeks off and I've come down with about a man flu and I'm barely breathing. I feel like shit, but you know, hopefully a couple of winners will brighten me up.
Yeah, hopefully. DJ, you're a bit more upbeat about things.
Yeah. I have a double whammy this Christmas. The wedding is New Year's Day, so...
Oh, wow.
Of course, yeah.
It's getting a bit too close for comfort at the moment.
I'm assuming the invite just got lost in the post then, yeah, is that right?
Yeah. Where are our invites?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I'm Frank.
It was very tricky to narrow it down.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
No worries, mate. I hope it goes well.
And Frank, we're hoping to get you back on an even keel and bang some winners in.
Yeah. It's been a rough few weeks, so I could do with getting a couple of winners today to set me up for Christmas.
Right. Well, we'll give it our best shot. Starting off at Ascot tomorrow, the 150 My Pension Expert Handicap Chase, 2 mile, 3 furlongs. Now, this race revolves largely around a horse called Janika. Could he be chucked in, Keels? We were discussing this beforehand. You just don't know, do you, really?
Yeah, one of those that potentially is, isn't it? I mean, 5-year-old, come over from France, by Saddler Maker, same size as Bristol Demai, Apple Jade, etc. So not going to have any problem with the ground. In fact, done all his winning on really bad ground. And it's one of those, got an official mark of 145. It could be 135 or 165, couldn't it? We don't really know, but he's been doing it very easily in France. It's a guess. Sometimes they need a first look at British fences, and obviously Ascot's fences, you know, they're probably not as stiff as they were, but they're stiff enough. I actually thought to myself that he would be a little bit shorter than he is.
Okay.
So I certainly wouldn't put anyone off him. I'm going to take a chance, however, on the old boy Valdez, because I thought, although he pulled up last time over 2 miles, I thought he ran an absolute cracker on his first run of the season. He travelled really well, jumped really well, and actually moved into third place, jumped into third last, and then just got knackered. He wanted softer ground. He's going up in trip, which he might like. You know, it's not a confident bet by any stretch of the imaginations, but he was a very talented horse, and he's still shaped like one. And I think a double bigger price, I'll take him each way.
Yep, has some really, really good novice form. Frank, what price can we get on this one?
Yeah, well, I'll run through the betting there, Maddie. Janika's 11-4, Magic Saint 7-2, Hell's Kitchen 11-2, The Dollar Man 13-2, Movie Legend 9-1, Royal Regatta 12, along with Overtown Express. Valet is also 12 with Guard Fort, and Rock on Rocky is 16s.
And how do you analyse this one?
Yeah, I thought it was a very tricky race. Hell's Kitchen's a horse I always thought has a big win in him, but yeah. I'd be just slightly worried about the ground. I don't think he wants it too testing, and the first race at Ascot's just over there, and they seemed to be finding it tough work, so that would probably be a slight negative for me. The one I'd probably give an each-way chance, like, obviously Janika, we don't know how the French form ties in and whether his mark is lenient, potentially is, but the Dollar Man travelled quite well at Newbury the last day behind a horse called Zirak Delac that won again at Exeter subsequently. He travelled really well. That was over 2.5 miles on good ground. He wants softer ground, so that the rain is in his favour, and the step up and trip will help as well, the side step up and trip. But just the ground. But I think he's got a massive each way chance. The way he travelled that day on ground that probably wasn't ideal for him, and he made 2 mistakes in the last 3 fences as well. I think if he can jump properly, and the ground would definitely be a massive help. I think he's got an each way chance here.
Yeah, I really like the Dollar Man as well. Had some good novice form at this track as well. DJ, final shout over to you.
Yeah, like Frank, he mentioned Hell's Kitchen there. I was very keen on Hell's Kitchen at Cheltenham last weekend, and he was taken out because of the ground. I have no doubt whatsoever that he's the best horse in the race. He's down to a mark of 143 now. He's dropped £2 for the run in Aintree, but I spoke to Barry Geraghty before that run in Aintree, and he said he'd badly need the run, which he ran like he did. You go back to the race on Boxing Day, or St. Stephen's Day, as we call it, last year at Kempton. He beat Mr. Whittaker that day off 137. He's only £6 higher now, and that was a proper race. Like, when you're ready, Freddie was pulled up that day. He was only running off 128. He's rated 148 now. Harry Fry's had 4 winners in the last 10 days, so his team are in good form. It's just the ground. If the ground was anyways decent, I think he'd be very, very hard to beat. But I'm very worried about the ground. And for that reason, I'm just gonna tentatively side with Magic Saint, who I know, because I've had a little whisper that he might beat Sam Twist and Davis's Twist and Shout in the Racing Post tomorrow, but don't tell anybody. And I think they think the world of this horse. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was a big plunge on Magic Saint. So I'm going to go for him.
Okay, what did you make for his first run at Haydock? Because it wasn't sort of that impressive, was it?
But badly, badly, badly needed it, apparently.
Okay.
But I hear.
That'll do. Moving on to the 225 and ask it again. The JLT hurdle, the long walk as we know it, grade one. So there's lots of different angles you can take with this one, isn't it? Let's start off with Call Me Lord because he's favourite. Frank, take us through them.
Yeah, he's 5-2. You know what I mean? Harry's 100-30. Agripar 13-2. Paisley Park and Sam Spinner are 7-1. Soul Emotion 8-1. Top Notch is 12-1. And we're 14s bar.
Now, Frank, you're usually very persuasive. But just talking about this before we went on air, you're warming me round to one that makes an awful lot of sense. Who are you liking?
Well, I stayed on yesterday and priced the race myself from scratch to try and see what angle I could get into it. And I think the key to this race potentially could be the fact that the ground has turned to like soft, heavy in places. And the one, like, if you look down through it, Call Me Lord has stamina to prove. I'm not sure he's guaranteed to get the trip. You know what I mean, Harry? He did win at Newbury, but I think that might be his track. And that race pretty much fell apart. He's still only beaten Klein 2.5 lengths, and I think the Mighty Don was third, beating 4.5 lengths. I don't think they're up to that sort of level. I question that race. Paisley Park was shaped like a really strong stare at Hay at the last day, but again, I'm not sure the ground's ideal for him. Sam Spinner has run pretty poorly 3 times in a row, and maybe the return to this track and the ground would help, but he's a question mark. Soul Emotion hasn't been seen since winning at Sandown, but he was supposed to go chasing, so there's always the worry that this might be used as a prep before he goes chasing.
What the hell are you going to tip?
So the one I've come down on, simply because of the ground and is guaranteed to get the trip, is Agripart. Obviously, the Williams won this race 3 years in a row with Rev de Sivla. He's only 7. He won the Cleve last year at Cheltenham. The ground's come in his favour, and at 13-2, I think it's a fair each way bet. I think it'll take...
He's never won right-handed, Frank.
Yeah, well, there's about 5 of them in there have never won over 3 miles, David. So.
I know that you're a big fan of Sam Spinner. You're giving him another chance.
Yeah, I'm giving him another chance. I mean, I say a big fan of him. I backed him in a race last year, just really taken, by the way. He just took that race at Haydock apart. And obviously, since last year, he hasn't done much. Now, I did a jockey... got in trouble with himself at Cheltenham because he was warned by everybody not to go too fast, and then he didn't go anywhere near fast enough, and virtually every horse that was still standing could win going to the last. It just turned into a sprint, which didn't suit. Going to Aintree afterwards, that again is like, one step too far. Just had a race at Cheltenham, go to Aintree, not all horses perform. He did have apparently a stone bruise before his run at Newbury because he was going to run at Wetherby, didn't. Whether that held him up or not, you have to say that he was a little bit disappointing. But he ran and was ridden to me like a horse that needed to run. They didn't try and make the run in. They didn't try and knock the guts out of him or anything. Mm-hmm. And they know that what this horse is an out-and-out stayer who likes bad ground. And this is the stiffest test for any Grade 1 horse over hurdles in Britain. And it's perfect for him. He does need to bounce back to form because he won't be winning on what he did at Newbury. But I would give him a chance. I can't have Call Me Lord at all. I mean, he won and he got stepped up to 2 mile 5 furlong. Nicky Henderson, it was said it was a bit of a guess at the time. And but that was good to soft ground. They went an absolute crawl. They're going to go a lot harder here. It's going to take given this ground, it'll take the best part of a minute longer to finish the race than it did at Ascot. So he really does have to have it to prove. Like I say, I think that, Harry raced a long walk in which Sam Spinner was well beaten. I just think all the main dangers fell away and he didn't have much to beat. Not convinced with him. I can see the argument. Agripar, I'm just not sure that he's that good. And, Paisley Park again, I did like the look of him, but ground's an issue. I don't like any of the others. So I think Sam Spinner, if he can bounce back, he's definitely the one to beat. He's still the highest rated horse in the race.
Yeah.
On form, he's the best horse in the race.
Yeah, lots of questions about a lot of them, DJ. I was sort of looking at You Never Call and Soul Emotion just for something that could perhaps improve. What was your view?
Yeah, this is a shocking race. Absolutely. This is like a selection box full of bounties.
Oh.
It's absolutely shocking.
No one wants one of them.
Like,
get out. No, you don't. Oh.
As Paul said there, like, you're going through it and Call Me Lord, like, was 2-1 favourite for a long time. And you're saying to yourself, hold on here a second. Like, 2.5 is the furthest he's ran over. And it was, he's just basically rated on his last run of last season when, as Paul said, everything fell apart. But I completely agree with Paul here. I have doubts about Sam Spinner because I hated the way he stalled into so many hurdles. Like, he seemed to be on the perfect stride for a load of hurdles at Newbury, and then he decided to take an extra stride. And I don't know why he did that. He might have just been feeling something. But if you go back, I think it's as simple as this. If Sam Spinner runs an identical race than he did in the race last year, he wins. It's simple as that, because it's not a good race. I think Lammy Surd would win this race. I don't think it's a good race. And I think the fact that the ground is the way it is, I can just see him going hell for leather from the off. I can see him pinching 3 or 4 lengths at the start, trying to kick into a clear lead. And I just think he'll outstay them. I can see, look, I was joking with Frank there, saying about Agripar can't have someone right-handed. I can see where he's coming from, because he's probably one of the less exposed runners in the field, and he could just be able to make the jump forward. But I just think the fact that Sam Spinner has done it, he's the highest rated in the field, he's rated 162. We know he liked the ground, we know he goes right-handed, and the key thing is with the ground, he stays. So it's certainly Sam Spinner for me, who has cheek pieces on for the first time, and I think that's a big help as well.
Yep, getting that in the end there. 2 votes for Sam Spinner. Moving on to the 3 o'clock at Ascot, the Garrard Silver Cup Handicap Chase at listed rate over 3 miles. Gold President won this race last year, he's £5 higher now. Keels, what's your fancy?
Yeah, well, £5 higher would be a bit of an irrelevance, really, when you look at the form, because he actually beat Frodon when Frodon was rated something like 151 and he's now rated 169. The issue, and for me, it's a massive one. I mean, if it was good ground, I'd be saying, you know, I think he's 4-1 Gold President, I'd be saying that's an absolute gift. But the last time he ran on heavy ground was at Cheltenham in March. He pulled up. That was the first time he'd run on ground softer than good to soft since November 2015, when he also pulled up. He's been kept away from ground as deep as this, and I just can't see him liking it. So I'd be going for something else. Horse I like is the novice, Jamming Masters, who was second to Count Maribel at Carlisle in a novice handicap. Now, that wasn't his first run over fences. He actually ran in a couple of hunter chases for Ted Walsh earlier in his career, and he finished second in both of them. But that was a really good run. He actually, at the second last, he sort of ploughed through it, and at the last, the horse that was alongside him dived into him, so he got knocked out of his stride, and he was gaining on the winner. The winner is £11 higher now because he won a Class 2 at Cheltenham afterwards. I think there's a solid bit of form. He's got 10 stone 5, I think it is, on his back. I think he's got to have a big chance.
Sounds like a fairly confident selection. Frank, what price can we get on Jamming Masters and the rest?
7-1. Gold President's 11-4 at the moment. Benatar and Full Glass 11-2. Jamming Masters, Thomas Patrick 7-1. Favorito Box 8-1. Otago Trail 9-1. And we're 14s bar.
Yeah, interesting race this. Plenty sure to have other targets later on in the season. Frank, who did you come down on the side of?
I 100% agree with Paul here. I think Jamming Masters is probably the most interesting. I think the conditions are ideal for him. Even if you go back to January when he won a maiden hurdle at Chepstow, he beat Rocco 27 lengths, and that Rocco was third last weekend at Cheltenham behind Rock Point. So it wasn't like that Rocco wasn't a bad horse, and he's absolutely hammered him. I think the key to him is the ground. He wants it bad. He won a handicap hurdle at Wincanton off 124 very easily, and like, you kind of forgive him going to Punchtown and getting beaten. And the fact he could run such a solid race on good ground at Carlisle the last day in the race has been franked. I think it suggests he's on a very fair mark of 136. The stable are small but quiet. They've only had one winner out of 24 in the last couple of weeks, but I think he's the most interesting one in it, and I'd have a few quid each way on him.
Okay, is it going to be 3 votes for Jamming Masters, DJ?
Yeah, sorry lads, it is. Yeah, I was thinking Jamming Masters by far the most interesting. Like, I know it ran in Hunter Chase and it was with Ted Walsh, but it's relatively lightly raced. It won its point-to-point at Dungarvan. I think it won by a ridiculous margin, 30 or 40 lengths or something that day. And the key is the ground. If the ground was anyways decent, it's like Paul is reading my notes. If the ground was anyways decent, I think Gold Present would be really interesting and would be very hard to beat. And there's 9-2 out there. That would be a big price. He's second run after Windup, which is a big thing. And I thought he ran a hell of a race against Politolog because he can jump better than that. I thought he got in tight to a couple and hit a few. And I thought he did well to stick at it. And that's a really good piece of form. So if the ground, if it did dry out a little bit, which is not going to, Old President would obviously be the one to beat, but I think Jam and Masters, with the way the ground is, I could see him going off a good bit shorter than he is now.
Okie dokie.
Talking of hitting a few, I was just watching my tip in the second race at Ascot today just now, and that's why my heart nearly jumped into my mouth, because it went straight to the first fence and it never picked up a leg. And how it stood up, I don't know, but it's still in front at the moment.
Thanks for that live commentary. That. Yeah, nice live commentary. You're teasing us, we want to know the result.
What's it called?
Brian Storm.
Oh, yeah, I fancy that as well. Anyway, back to what we're supposed to be talking about, Paul Keighley, the 335 at Ascot Betfair Exchange Trophy, grade three. Jolly's cracked it, the logical place to start. Up £9 from his return win, £6 higher than when dead heating in this 3 years ago. He's an interesting horse, Keels, but it's a big ask, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, dead heating in it 3 years ago. His next run was in it the following year when he was tailed off, and his next run was when it won last time out. He's now up to as highest mark he's ever been on. I mean, yeah, he can win, but you'd like to think there'd be something better handicapped than a nine-year-old. I mean, I know he's got
it's a good
horse.
He's
a lightly raced and he's a decent horse, but you'd like to think there was something better handicapped. I like two in a race. I just really like the Jerry Fielden form at Newbury. Obviously, Winner Global Citizen is going to be taking on Bouvardere, and I don't think anything will be Global Citizen other than Bouvardere in that. The two, Mont des Avoirs and Lisp, they were third and second. Lisp just got up, but Mont des Avoirs was coming back. And they both came from way off the pace. I think he's a massive, massive player, Mont des Avoirs. He travels really well. He'll come on for it. I think he'll like Ascot. And it's funny, the trainer of Lisp, Alan King, says Lisp doesn't go left, doesn't go right-handed. But he's never actually run on a right-handed track in his life. He did hang round the top bend at Windsor when he was a three-year-old on his third ever start. But I mean, it's scant evidence, isn't it? So those would be my two against the field. I gather the Moors really like Not Never. I mean, Jamie Moore was really, really complimentary about him after he won at Plumpton. But my two would be that Jerry Fielden form.
Yeah, I had a look at, I always want to pick Rags, and I like Not Never. I like First Figaro as well. I thought he was interesting for Venetia Williams. Sure, those two are bound to be big prices. DJ, what can you tell us about Ollie Murphy's horse? What do you make of him? Obviously, Ollie won it last year with Hunter's Call with I don't know if you'll debate this, Keels, but a similarly sort of profiled horse.
This one is, I think it's much more exposed and plenty of runs. And like its mark at the moment, I think, is overestimating the switch, to be honest, because I'd be surprised if he was good enough. That horse, like, I'd know inside out. Like, and maybe, maybe a new lease of life will be got from switching Tolly Murphy's. But, yeah, I'm not quite so sure. Like, the one
higher than he ran off last time, isn't he? Something like that. That's a hell of a big...
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The other, like, Tornado Watch has a chance here for Emmett Mullins. I just think one piece of form, like, it was second of jury duty in the American Grand National, which you can't read too much into, but I don't think that's been factored into his price, to be honest, and his handicap mark. I think that's a really good run. He ran in a really, really hot handicap hurdle in Ireland last time in Ferry House and ran really well, didn't get a particularly good ride. So he's interesting, but I've liked one for this race for a long, long time. And I'm pretty sweet. The ground is a small bit of a worry, and it's £1 out of the handicap. But I think Chatez is extremely interesting. I thought that was a hell of a run behind Jolly's Cracked It last time. I know
another one who's pretty fragile, isn't he?
Very fragile, but it made a couple of mistakes. It got hampered at a bad time, and it made a mistake at the last. I think Jolly's Cracked It was flattered by the distance it won by that day. Even if you go back to it's quite unexposed over hurdles, and the trends of the race actually suited, you know, top three finish last time, 10 or fewer runs over hurdles, rated less than 1.46. A lot of the trends kind of suit Chatez. And just watching the race the last time, he was so keen and so exuberant. I just thought a strongly run affair around Ascot with a low weight, with a decent jockey, Bowen has been booked. And even if you go back to his flat form, like, he was two and a quarter lengths ahead of this time next year in a Newbury handicap the last time it appeared on the flat, given this time next year £10. I think he's very well handicapped over hurdles. And he's one of them ones that just sneaks in under the radar. And I think he could have a stone in hand. But, you know, we'll see. Hopefully by the end of the season, he'll be rated in the high 130s. But he's only rated 120 now. I'm very, very sweet on Chatez.
Okay, might well pay for the wedding then, Frank. A betting show. Sorry, should have gone to you first, really.
Yeah, we're six places here as well, Maddie, so we're giving you a good chance each way. Johnny Tractor is currently a market leader, 13-2. Fidox, 9-1. Western Rider, Montez Avalwar, Lisp, Fisol are all 10-1. Mr. Antony, 11-1. Nietzsche, 12-1. And we're 14s bar.
And you're sticking with an old friend of yours.
Yeah, I'm not going to give up on Mr. Antonini. It was sort of heartbreaking at Haydock the last day when I was heavily invested in him. No, I had backed him each way, but it looked like he was always getting there. And I was just focused on the horse in front. And then just as he was getting there, he got done by Black Mischief. But I do think 2-3 on good ground isn't ideal. And I think the key to him is much more testing ground, right-handed, 2 miles. It's ideal for him. I can't get away from how well that Imperial Cup has worked out. And although he's £11 higher now, I still think the scope to improve off that mark. He's still only had the 6 runs for Nigel Twiston Davis, and he hasn't had that many tries on soft or worse going over 2 miles. Like, even when he was at Ireland, there was only a handful of times he got bad ground. Thurles one day in a maiden hurdle, he was second at a monstrous price, and he was touched off in a handicap hurdle at Punchestown before he switched to Nigel Twiston Davis. And both times he ran over 2 miles on bad ground right-handed for Nigel Twiston Davis, he's won. I think he's a really solid each way play, and I would be gutted if he didn't get into the six at the very least, but I think he'll go close.
Okay, so some confident selections there. We're going to cover Haydock just after this short break.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back to this Friday tipping postcast. As promised, we're going to go over to Haydock, the 205, £50 risk-free on Racing with Smarkets handicap hurdle over 2 mile, 3 furlongs. It's on ITV4. Ballymoy's winning run ended last time out, but plenty of punters will be latching on to him again here. Keels, what did you make of sort of how he's progressed?
Yeah, I think he's progressed well enough. I think that Jerry Fielden race was a very, very good race. I mean, obviously he was a bit further behind in the front three. I think he was beaten 5 lengths in total. But he's got, you know, I think he probably wants to go around softer than it was there as well, because it wasn't as soft as given. Chitty Balco is very, very hard to beat on bad ground at Haydock. I do think it's between those two, but I'd imagine Ballymoy is going to be a bit more progressive than him, and he'd be my selection. I'm not going to get carried away with a bet around 2-1, 15-8, but I think he's the one to beat.
Okay, Frank, take it away with the prices.
Yeah, Chitabalco is just about favourite at 7-4, Ballymoy 15-8, Better Get Along 7-2, Spirit of Cape 7-1, and Seymour Lights 10-1.
And who do you fancy, Frank?
Yeah, look, it's very tricky. The one thing I'd be worried about with Chitabalco is if it was 2 miles in bad ground around Haydock, I would say he'd be very difficult to catch. But even if you saw the last day when he was third to Mr. Antonini and Black Mischief, he looked like the race won. He just was tying up in the last 100 yards. And on worse ground, I think this might test his stamina a little bit. The one I'm going to chance here, and it's purely nearly down to stable form, is Better Get Along for Nicky Richards.
I like him a lot.
Bombing, like, as in the last, I think of his last 11 runners, 8 have won, which is incredible. This is his handicap debut off a mark of 135. It's difficult to know if he's well treated, but like, the only time, like, he was beaten in, like, in the Cheltenham bumper after winning 2 bumpers leading into it. He's won first time out the last 2 years as well. He was pulled up obviously behind Black Op in a Grade 1 at Aintree in April. But I think there's a chance he might be on a fair mark. And with the stable absolutely bombing, I'd be willing to give him, have a small bet on him. I wouldn't be going mad. It's a tricky race.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Really like this Better Get Along. He's performed well when he's been stepped up in class. And this isn't, you know, the deepest of races, I guess. DJ?
Yeah, I like Better Get Along as well. I just think when you go through even the races he's ran in, like, to run in the champion bumper, it's not like Nicky Richards. He doesn't pitch them in at the deep end for no reason. He knows what he has. And to run against Feyenay in that bumper, and, like, even when you go through all his form even last year, I think he's probably quite a useful sort. Now, 135 is obviously not a low mark, but to run in the Grade 1 behind Black Op at Aintree as well, and the fact that his horse are in such good form, I think it's obviously a guessing game to try and guess if he's well handicapped off 135. But I think it's pretty educated guess when you consider the stable form and the races he's been pitched into. It's a small field. If his jumping holds up, he should be hard to beat.
Okay, nice quick summary then for that race. The 240 at Haydock again. The smart is Tommy Whittle, a handicap chase. Jewel at Dawn, I believe, heads the market here. Frank, I'm pretty keen on his chances. Is that correct?
It was actually worth favourite Kimberlite candidate at the moment at 3-1. Jewel at Dawn second favourite at 5-1. Sharp Response 6-1. Testify 13-2. The Klondike and Clan Legend are 8-1, and we are 17-2 bar.
Okay, and who's your money going to be on in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to give the Klondike another chance here. It's only a six-year-old. He's wearing the visor for the first time. He was a bit disappointed at Cheltenham the last day, but I think that can be nearly purely put down to the ground. It was good ground that day, and he wants it. The more testing, the better, and hopefully it'll be really testing at Haydock. Like, if you look last year, in December last year, he won at Wincanton off mark for 126 very easily, and he went to Newbury and won easily then off mark for 133. He was a 6-1 favourite at Punchestown over 3.6 miles, but he made a bad mistake three out and was pulled up. He wasn't out of the race at that stage when he made the mistake, and you can forgive him, Cheltenham, because of the ground. So he's on a mark of 139, only £6 higher than that Newbury win. He's unexposed to degrees, and he had 12 runs in total. And being a six-year-old, plenty of progress in him, I think. And at about 8-1, I think that's a fair each-way price.
Yeah, I know. I spoke to David Piper about him earlier on in the season. He still thinks he's a really good horse, just needs bottomless ground, as you mentioned. Keels, as I said at the top, I like Jewel at Dawn. His form's working out well with Miss Parfois and Size in Tennessee. But I don't know. We'll have to see how he gets on a different sort of test today.
Yeah, well, I think I backed him for the four-miler at Cheltenham.
I think I did.
I don't know. 2.7 miles, man. Haydock, is it going to be as much of a test for him as it could be? So I'm not, you know, I'm not 100% certain about that. And the one I keep coming back to, I mean, I think it's a tight little race. I like horses with Haydock form. I think you have to, especially when it comes to soft ground. Testify has obviously got some very decent form there. Beat Klein over 2 mile. Beat Lakeview Lad over 2.5. He's obviously got a decent chance, but I keep coming back to Clan Legend. Has first time out for the last 3 years, won first time out very easily the last two times, each time on heavy or soft ground. One run at Haydock last year, won a handicap very easily, beat Creve Hill. Creve Hill's about £16 higher now. I think the fourth is £14 higher now. It was a really, really good run. Clan Legend has to prove that it stays nearly 3 mile, because that was only 2.4 miles. But, you know, we bang on about the great women jockeys we've got at the moment, Bryony Frost and Rachel Blackmore, and, you know, Lucy Alexander's pretty good as well.
Yes.
She rides it. Hopefully she'll have a big day in the sun at Haydock.
Okay, DJ?
I agree with Frank. I like the Klondike. I just think that piece of form from last year, around this time last year at Newbury, it beat Grand Vision. I think Grand Vision bolted up next time then at Wincanton after that. I'd say he's probably well enough handicapped off. I think he's down to 139 now. And the visor, he's just a bit lazy and a bit idle. I think something like this will suit him. The trip, if there was an extra 2 or 3 furlongs, it'd be perfect. But it wouldn't be a real confident selection or anything like that. But I think you will see a big improvement from his Cheltenham run. So the Klondike for me.
Okay, we're going to move on to Lingfield now, of all places, back on the flat. I think if you're focusing on this time of year, you're a bit balmy. The Polytrack Betway Quebec Stakes listed race, but we are going to focus on it for a good reason, because the Cambridgeshire winner is going to run here, Wissahickon. He's coming up against the likes of Big Country, some really solid horses on the all-weather Keels. But he won that Cambridgeshire like he was in a different parish to everything else, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he did. I mean, you know, maybe they did go too fast, like John Gosden said, but it looked like a Group 1 performance to me. And obviously, he's won on the all-weather as well. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not a race I'm, like, you know, really, really eager to watch, like, you know, in the middle of the flats, in the middle of the jump season. But you know, his odds on, I'd imagine he'll win it. I'd like to see him, you know, running big races next year.
Where would you aim him at next year?
I don't really know, but I'd start. Yeah, might as well. You know, why not start on something like the Tattersalls Gold Cup, which will probably be weak. But see where you go from there. But yeah, I'd say mile two.
Yeah, not a bad shout. I do think it's interesting they're going to go sort of down this route. If they really thought he was a Group 1 horse, would they? I don't know. Frank, what do you think? Wissahickon, can he be beaten?
It's very hard to see him beaten. Like, I wasn't convinced that Newmarket was going to be his track when we were pricing up the Cambridgeshire, and the way he won was just Yeah, as Paul said, he looked like a Group One horse, and like this is it's relatively aside from him, it's a relatively competitive race. But I mean, if he replicates that sort of a run, I can't see him beating.
Yeah, and DJ, a final word.
An all-weather race at Lingfield a couple of days before Christmas on the same day as a Grade One jumps race, like, I couldn't give a shite, to be honest. And I'll be honest, it's like going out for a game of golf on Christmas Day. Like, you just don't play flat racing when the weather's bad. Like, you so much look forward to over jumps. Like, I couldn't care less whether I saw that race or not.
Oh, you have, it's on the running order. We have to talk about it.
I know. Well, sure, like, the favourite will probably win, but whether he does or not, it's not going to bother me too much. Like.
What is going to bother you, though, DJ, is you've said that you found a horse that you just don't think can be beaten at all. So we'll go to your other Saturday picks. I'll give you first shout.
This is one of these situations where you can just imagine, I don't know if there's a review show on Monday, but there's probably some kind of review show, and you're going to play this clip, and it's going to be played for the rest of my life. But I think there's an absolute certainty running in the 1 o'clock at Haydock tomorrow. When I seen the entries for this race, I was just praying that she'd be confirmed as a runner, and she is, because 2 miles, 3 furlongs around Haydock is absolutely perfect for Queen of Hearts, who I think is top notch. I really do, and for a couple of reasons. Like, Dance Idol might make the market here, but I actually don't think Dance Idol is that good, to be honest with you. Maybe she'll prove me wrong, but Queen of Hearts won a listed bumper at Sandown, which is usually quite a good race. Willie Mullins usually sends one over at the end of last season. Mm-hmm. But now, she didn't jump particularly. This is my little bit of a concern. She didn't jump particularly well on her
first
at Chepstow. But just let me just take you through the form, right? The winner, Desha Abba, could be proper horse. The third, Know the Score, who was 10 lengths behind Queen of Hearts, came out next time and won by 8 lengths of Hexham. The fourth, New Tide, who was beaten 15 lengths, came out next time and absolutely bolted up by 4 lengths at Haydock. The fifth, which was Digger Dondu, I don't know how you pronounce it, Digger Dondu, okay, who was a 50-1 shot on the day for Charlie Longston, okay, looked like a no-hoper on the day, finished fifth, beaten 19 lengths, came out and won next, was backed off the boards next time, came out and won at Newcastle. So the third, fourth and fifth, who were beaten huge distances, all came out and won next time. The seventh and eighth also ran well next time, and she was running against boys. Now she's in against mares who are not that good, and she just looks different class. Like, I have no idea what price she's going to be, but I'll be shocked if she's beaten, and I know what's going to happen. I know she's going to get beaten, and I know it's going to be played all over Christmas, and I'm going to look like an idiot. But there, I said it.
And you're going to be hating me on Monday for lording you over it, no doubt.
In part, 1 o'clock, Haydock, she will be your trump card.
No, I do love that mare, DJ, so I hope she can go well. Stuart Edmonds does really well with his horses. Kiehl's, any other picks from other races?
There was one, I was just having a look at it. Kerry Lee's got one at Haydock in a 135 called Sheer Rock, who I think ran an absolute blinder. It was the only horse to give Lady Buttons a race at Newbury on Ladbrokes Trophy Day. I think that has to go well. I wouldn't imagine it'd be much of a price, but I mean, it's obviously
a winner's a winner.
A bit to go.
Frank?
I only had one from Haydock, and it happened to be in the 1 o'clock against David.
What is it?
Dance Idol. He's dead right. That Chepstow race worked out tremendously well, and Queen of Hearts is good. But I think Dance Idol, I think she's very good as well. Like, if you remember, she was only beaten a length and a half by Relegate in a bumper in Ireland before she switched to Paul Nicholls, and she clearly needed to run at Cheltenham, and she was quite impressed with Wayne Canton. Like, it'll be a good race. I would probably fall down the side of Dance Idol. I know she only won against Mayers the last day, but after the race, Paul Nicholls was quick to say that he wouldn't be afraid of running her against the boys, so he obviously holds her in a fair bit of regard too, but it'll be interesting to see how that race goes. In Turles, if you were looking for a certainty that's a mare, I would be nearly more wanting to go with Honeysuckle in the 2 o'clock. She was, she didn't win much of a race the first day at Fairy House, but she was backed off the boards that day. It was like you knew this was going to win early enough in the morning. She won by 12 lengths, backed into odds on. The second Moscovite has come out and won a Navan maiden hurdle by 5.5 lengths, which is also backed off the boards. And I'd say if you're looking for a certainty, I would prefer to go with that. Now it'll be odds on, but I think that'll be one that'll be interesting. And another one at Thurles I thought was a little bit interesting. David might know a bit about this, but this Doyle has one running in the 235 called One First Cut, running the handicap for the first time off a mark of 115. And it's potentially interesting off that kind of a mark. Ran in plenty of bumpers and stuff, and like even it was second at Thurles last March behind Shoe Time. It was given it a pound that day, and like Shoe Time's rated 124. Now it was beaten six lengths, it was beaten fair and square, but it's getting in off 115, and it'll look a fair enough mark now to me. And I think she could be an each way price. There's a chance she could be a double figure price, and I'd be taking. I'd take, if I got 10 or 11 or 12 to 1 on that now, I'd definitely bet that each way. And up at Newcastle at 230, there's a bit of a minor cliff horse for me, but the Dubai Way has been a horse I kind of followed for a bit. It beat some good horses last year, like Vado Forte up in Warwick in a handicap of 122. It's had two runs over fences, once a Subtle where it jumps terribly, but then it was much better at Chepstow the last day when it was only beaten four lengths by Awake at Midnight. The likes of Another Crick and Osage Bay were ahead of it as well. And it's running here off a mark of 120. And if it could jump okay, I think that'll take all the beating.
Okay, fabulous. We'll now go to your Saturday best bets.
This will not be beaten.
Paul Killey, I'm not sure I can trust you, seeing as you like bounties in selection boxes, but take it away.
Jamming Masters in the 3 o'clock at Ascot.
Thank you very much. David Jennings.
Oh, Queen of Hearts, 1 o'clock, Haydock.
Frank Hickey?
Just about got Miss Trantellini in the 3:35 Ascot.
Okay, best of luck there. We'll talk about some more of the action on over the Christmas period just after this.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Okay, welcome back to the final instalment of this tipping postcast. There's no racing until Boxing Day, but a quick word and selections on any of the big races. First off, the King George Keels. Who wins?
It's fascinating. I mean, you know, when it comes to top class horses, some you take two, some you don't. Like, no, I mean, I made a fool of myself, a little bit pissed at the horse race writers. Introduced myself to Nigel Twiston Davis as the founder member of the Bristol to my fan club. Said, I really, really hope it'll win, like, you know, and he said it will, you know. But then he'd have said that last year as well, like, you know, and we all know that. And I'm not sure I trust him, you know. He's a printing press at Haydock and not necessarily one to trust anywhere else. But I've never taken a Mike Byer. Don't think his form was all that good. He won the race by a length last year from Double Shuffle. This is a miles better race. He then got beat in the Gold Cup. He then ran one of his worst ever races over fences last time out. I had a look back. Right, in the last 20 years, no horse has run anywhere near that badly on the previous run before the King George. And it's still favourite. I can't have it at all. I'm going to go with one of the ones stepping up in Trip. I really like Waiting Patiently. I have a sneak feeling they won't run him because there's less than no rain forecast between now and Wednesday. So for me, it's Politologue. He's won both his starts at Kempton very easily, admittedly, deeply uncompetitive races. But, you know, beating Charbel last time, giving it £6.
Good form now.
I mean, it absolutely ran away with the Peter with a chase. How many of these 3 milers would be good enough to beat Min over 2.5 like he did? I mean, the only other one you'd say probably Waiting Patiently. So if he does stay, and let's remember, he won over 2.5 miles as a 5-year-old when he never settled. And now he's settled. Personally, I make him the one to beat now.
Okay, interesting. He's a funny one to trust, isn't he, Politologue? You want him to sort of hit the front at the right time, but he's clearly on the up.
He found enough at Ascot last time. I really do think he did.
He did. David Jennings, the King George, who's your money on?
Yeah, I just clicked into it there just to have a quick look at the prices, and I didn't actually realise how short Politologue was. 9-2 with Paddy Power. Bloody hell. Like, he definitely has a chance. I don't know if he's a 9-2 shot now. I have to say, like, I never thought I'd hear myself say these words, but surely Bristol de Mai is the one horse that's overpriced. Whether he wins or not is neither here nor there.
I know this is
stupid, but whether he wins or not, in a way, is neither here nor there.
No, I agree, yeah.
You're getting... I know this will probably be something that will be spotted on Twitter. And David Jennings said, whether you win or not is neither here nor there. But my point is, if we didn't all think that Bristol de Mai was better at Haydock than anywhere else, and we've seen that run in the Betfair Chase, Like, it was, you'd be saying he's probably a 3-1 shot or 5-2. Mm. Like, during the week, you were getting 7-1 about a horse who's beaten the 9-4 favourite in the race comprehensively. Now, there was excuses for Might Bite. I personally think, obviously, Haydock on soft ground is Bristol Demise bread and butter. But bloody hell, if the Windup has worked, you're getting a great price to find out if he is better anywhere else. Like, it's, I think it's worth taking the chance. So what? If he's pulled up again, you can say, right, I got it wrong. But you're not taking 6-4. You're getting 7-1 and 13-2. And you go back to his, like, he has ran well at Cheltenham, and he's ran quite well in other places other than Haydock.
He won a great one at Sandown, didn't he? And Chepstow.
I think it's the first three fences. If he gets into a rhythm over the first three, if he's enjoying himself, I think that 7-1 and 13-2 could look very big. But to be honest, I'm ashamed of myself for even making this argument.
But do you know what saying Bristol Demise is going to win the King George the week before Christmas is like? It's like saying, Josephine, I'm off for 7 or 8 days there. I'm going to go to the gym over Christmas. It is not going to happen. You can pretend it's going to happen, but you know well it's not going to happen.
You know what? I actually probably agree with you.
Like, I'm here now, and I'm going. I'm going to go to the gym a couple of days over Christmas, and I'm convinced myself I'm going to go to the gym, but I know well I won't. I'll be here on the 5th of January, bloated and feeling disgusting, going, I wish I'd gone to the gym.
Love that. Love it. That is brilliant.
Oh, well, what wins it then, Frank?
Yeah, what wins then, Frank?
Oh, I tell you, it's one of the most difficult races ever to try and pick out a winner. But look, if he runs, I would kind of agree with Paul. I think waiting patiently is the one you take a chance on. Look, he's stamina to prove to a degree. But every time he stepped off, he stepped up that level and proved he's good enough. I'd be willing to take a chance on him. If he didn't run, Politolog is probably the solid option. Again, he has to prove his stamina, but the last day at Ascot, that race worked out tremendously well. It's a race where, you know, if you're mad to have a bet, it would be for interest rather than being rock solid confident in your opinion. But like, yeah, if I had to have a bet, it would be waiting patiently.
I love how you called him the solid option there, a nod to Graham Rodway the other day.
Yeah, a fantastic couple of minutes of podcast history there last week.
Absolutely love that. We'll move on to the Christmas hurdle then. Bouvardet, is it going to be a cakewalk for him, Keels?
I don't know. I mean, the ground quicking it up. I mean, he should win. It should be a cakewalk. Everything is £15 higher than everything else in the race. He ought to. Global Citizen is a bit of a tool when the ground is decent, and the fact that he was able to win the Jerry Fielding on soft ground shows that he's improved as well. I think he'll be second to Bouvardet. I think Bouvardet will win. I mean, he hasn't been beaten for 2.5 years. But it'd be interesting to see whether Global Citizen can get him off the bridle, because he's got a fair amount of pace and he will stretch him. It'll be a proper race this year, whatever. I mean, we know how short that Bouvardet is going to be, but it'll still be a proper race.
Okay, Frank?
Yeah, look, Bouvardet will win. As in, it'll just be a race to watch. I wouldn't be getting involved financially.
Champion hurdle, do you think he can do it again?
What beats him? that's the thing, like, as in, like, what beats him? Like, I just don't know. I think he's very underrated. I think one of my probably tales of woe with Bouvardet was I was absolutely all over him for the JLT the year he won his first champion hurdle and didn't back him when he won the champion hurdle. I backed that bloody boat, Janworth. And yeah, so there you go. I thought he was a chaser.
He actually thrashed two very good chasers, didn't he? Oh, that was it.
Like, they were saying, oh, he jumped a bit low, but he was actually, he's really underrated. And like, I think even if he wins a third champion hurdle, people will just point to the fact that it's a weak division at the moment and he won't get the credit he deserves. Yeah. But there's not too many horses go to Cheltenham and win, you know, if he wins 3 years in a row, wins three champion hurdles, it's only the best of the best. And
Sodgy three champion hurdles, we wanted a JLT win out of you instead.
Oh God, for that Kenton card is interesting though. Like, away from that Christmas hurdle, the Cato Star novice chase could be quite interesting. I'm not convinced that Kenton would be the ideal track for Santini myself. Although his Newbury race win was impressive and it's been franked by Rocky's Treasure, I think top of the game would be very interesting against him if he turns up. I know David Jennings is very keen on him, and what he did at Exeter was nothing short of incredible.
Yeah, extraordinary.
I'll tell you a funny story. Like, as in, you know, Piper are very much into justice refunds when you don't get a run for your money. And when he didn't, when he lost 20 lengths at the start, they were like, oh, do we need to do a justice refund? And he was like, then was shouted over, look, he's actually running, he's not out of the race, he still has a chance of winning. And I was like, yeah, chance of winning, would you feck off, he's no chance. And next thing coming to two out, you're like, oh my God, this is going to win. And like how he got, like, it wasn't like an ordinary novice chase either. No. Like this was against proper grade one horses. And for him to do that, he must be very, very good. And I'll tell you something, everyone's talking about Gold Cups and whatever. The RSA is shaping up to be the race of the week. For me at the moment, the kind of horses that are going there. You've top of the game, Deltwork, Santini, and there's a few others as well to be thrown in there, but it looks like a cracking race. I'm really excited to see the two of them lock horns at Kempton, hopefully.
Okay, and Bags Groove as well, another really good horse to watch. He could race against them. DJ, word on the Christmas hurdle and anything else?
Yeah, I made it obviously a stupid argument for Bristol Demai, but holy God. Making an argument for Global Citizen against Boober there.
I expect him to win. I didn't say I was going to back him. I said I expect him to win, but he will make it a proper race for once. Because obviously, normally you get this race at Kempton when you get four runners and they just canter along. He will have, you know, he will have to race because he ain't going to mess about Global Citizen.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing. And that's a good thing.
I hope you're right. I hope he does make. I don't see it, but maybe.
But I don't see him not. Yeah. I don't see him winning.
Yeah,
but it'd be interesting. I see him running an absolute career best, and I will back him to be second. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, as Frank said, top of the game. I'm not quite sure if Kempton is his track, or certainly 3 miles around Kempton maybe isn't his trip. But I do think he could potentially win a Gold Cup someday. I think he's that good because I think 3 mile 2 around Cheltenham would be his cup of tea. One horse I'm really interested in. Not very often, like I'm extremely enthusiastic, I know, but it's not very often watching a Mickey Mouse race that I get blown away. And I have to say, I was absolutely blown away by Rouge Vif of Harry Whittington's when he won a maiden hurdle at Suddle, of all places. It was a weekday, I was only flicking through the channels, probably watched a couple of episodes of Friends, maybe watched The Chase a couple of times. And then this race.
Oh, I love The Chase. Oh, you can't diss Friends.
It's in Friends, but it finished about 20 years ago.
Yeah, but that's why it's so good. It's timeless, Keely.
Yeah, timeless, yeah. But I watched the race. I kind of, because there was a horse of Evan Williams in it called Bold Plan that I know they think is a useful enough horse. And this Rouge Vif went off out in front. And like, it was a little bit like watching St. Calvados in his running style, but I think he could end up actually being better than St. Calvados. And the horse he absolutely annihilated won at Ludlow earlier this week called Oakley. He's down to run in the first race at Kempton. Now, maybe I'm not quite sure how good the race is going to be. Did They Leave You Out 2 could run it and could be a short enough price. But Rouge Vif is a horse I'd be very, very interested in at Kempton on St. Stephen's Day.
Okay, before...
Can I make one reference to that race as well? Just that it could be very good. Obviously, Did They Leave You Out 2, potentially Grand Sansi, the big bite. Like there's some really good horses in there. Brewing Up a Storm, that's the one I wanted to get to. Now, what I would say is that, like, this is sort of thinking a little bit weirdly, but I know they like Thomas Darby, who's
Ollie
run
Murphy.
Really well, but you get the feeling, from what I've heard, that Brewing Up a Storm is a fair bit better than Thomas Darby. And I would say Thomas Darby's probably a 140 horse anyway, and this Brewing Up the Storm, if you go back to his bumper debut, he beat Port Rush Ted 9 lengths. Now, Port Rush Ted ended up winning the entry bumper. Now, he went off favourite for that listed bumper at Newbury, and he was 4 to AC Milan, and he came out of Huntingdon and won a nothing race very easily. But I get the feeling he could be very good. And Ollie Murphy, he's only in the game, a little over a year and a half, is it? But he's an unbelievable trainer, and I think this horse might take him to Cheltenham. I think he could be potentially a Supreme or even a Ballymore horse, but he'll be very keen to see how he runs if he runs at Kempton.
OK, and finally, a word on the Racing Post Novice Chase at Leopardstown, Keels.
Mangley Calves, absolute rancid price at odds on, isn't it? I mean, jumped really well, but didn't beat anything. Falls Meadow, that was second, got beaten much further when favourite for another chase next time. All he's done proved is he can jump a fence. He wasn't that much better than the Riesberg and the other one whose name I've forgotten, who was second favourite. I'd back Le Riesberg. Second to Delta works pretty good form, isn't it?
Mm. Okay. Reckon, boys? You in agreement,
the Irishman?
No, I fancy Mangley Can.
Arkle winner?
No, definitely.
Yeah, could win an Arkle. Oh, definitely could win an Arkle. Could,
yeah, and I could model for fucking, what are they called? Victorian
Secret. Frank's going to be down the gym over Christmas, I can so tell, he can model for them.
Maybe not. I have an absolute hatred for that horse, and I keep going, not a hope, not a hope, but I'm not going to change my mind. I just don't like him, and if he wins an Arkle, I'm going to, yeah, I don't
wear
know,
a
give
bikini.
Up.
Let's decide on this now. Let's decide on this
if
now.
If he wins an Arkle, whatever you want me to do.
Go on then, DJ.
I and Summer's underwear. You're going for modelling there, so that's what I'd be.
Yeah, 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 fair enough. Yeah.
In where? Where? We've got to do this in a public place.
In mass?
You've got to be suitably embarrassed by it, definitely.
Well,
anyway.
I think if anyone's ever seen me down the beach, they know I'd be pretty embarrassed going in public wearing bikini.
It's 9-2 shot. Isn't that 100-1?
It's
9-2 shot.
I think he obviously won all right the last. I don't think that was much. I know Forge Meadows got a decent hurdles rating, but I don't like the way she jumps. And I think her rating, if you put her in a handicap, I think she'd get hammered. But I would definitely think that Kalashnikov and Lawler back in better ground are better than him over fences, personally. Okay. I wouldn't give you up on Lawler at all.
Okay.
I think you get him back on good ground. Like I say, I backed him straight after he won at Cheltenham for the Arkle. And to be honest, at 8-1, I'd go in again. I genuinely would. I think he could be dangerously underestimated. You just remember, the same thing happened last year. He flopped in the Betfair Hurdle and he was written off and he was 16-20-1 for the Grey One at Aintree and he went and did that. Mm. And I think you'll see a different horse in Marta Cheltenham.
That's it for today. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, make sure you like, comment and subscribe to us on YouTube, SoundCloud or wherever you are listening to us from. I'll be back with you on Monday to review the weekend's action and we'll be looking at Boxing Day onwards. We'll dive deeper into the King George, sure to be a fascinating contest. In the meantime, don't miss our football postcast on Thursday while Mark Langdon is joined by Ian Wilkerson and James Milton. And next week, I'm joined by Dave Orton and Nick Watts to review all of the racing and look forward to the racing up at Doncaster and Newbury. Until next time, best of luck with your bets and we'll see you then.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.